What do you think of when you see that sign? Everybody know what that is? Yeah. Stop. You know, we see that every time we get in the car. I can't get out of my corner that I live in here on the road in front of Barnesdale till I see one, and I have to stop. You know, stop is one of the first words that we learn, even as children. It was the most popular word in the life of Philip for the first 15 years of his life. And I don't know that he'll ever get out of it. I don't know. But stop is something that we deal with all the time. I want to suggest to you that when you see this sign, it gives you two analogies about life. First of all, when you see this sign, it means that you cease doing whatever it is that you're doing. That's the first thing it tells you. The second thing it tells you is that you've got to do something different next. For example, let's say you're driving down the street and you see the stop sign. Well, that means that you're going to stop driving and moving forward. You're going to come to a complete stop. Now you've got to make a decision. When you reach that stop sign and you stop, you need to decide whether or not you need to keep going on straight, or whether it's time for you to turn to the right or turn to the left, or it may be that you have decided it's time for you to turn around and go back, and that has happened. It has happened to me many times. I've had to turn around and go back. But stop means you're going to stop what you're doing, and you've got a decision to make as to what you are going to do next. Now, what I want to do tonight for a few minutes, I want us to take this stop sign and I want to give it a spiritual twist, if you will. Now, tonight we're going to do four things. We're going to stop and see. We're going to stop and turn. We're going to stop and obey. And we're going to stop and persevere. And we're going to define what each one of these things mean to us as Christians. First of all, we need as Christians to learn how to stop and see. Now, the first thing we're going to stop and see, where are you? Where we are in life. You know, the first word that we get from our Heavenly Father in the Garden of Eden came to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. The first words out of His mouth to mankind was, "Where are you?" For you see, the reason for that is He knew that they were hiding from Him. He knew that they had been doing what they shouldn't be doing. He knew that they were in a place where they shouldn't be. Have you ever found yourself in the wrong place? Or maybe not necessarily a wrong place, but there at the wrong time? I guess we've all done that at one time or another. And you know it when you recognize it, that you're somewhere you don't need to be, and you're doing something that you don't need to be doing, and you need to stop. You need to cease that, whatever it is that you are doing. Are we where God wants us to be in our lives? Are we doing what God wants us to do in our lives? For our own spiritual good, we need to learn to stop and see where we are. Next, we need to stop and see if we are on the narrow way or are we on the broad way. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus gives us two ways to go. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." Now, I want you to notice something that Jesus did not tell us in this passage of Scripture. He did not tell us a third way. And do you know why he didn't tell us a third way? It's because there is none. Either you are walking down that same path with Jesus, or you are walking in another direction. Now, we may have some navigators in here. I know we have a pilot in here, and I know we have a Navy man in here who knows about navigation. And if you're going down if you're either flying or going through the water in a certain direction, and if you move that bearing by 1 degree, you're not going to go where you want to go, are you? You're going to wind up somewhere totally different. You have got to be going in the same direction. Jesus says there's only one way. He is the way. It is His gate. It is His road. And we have to be on it. And we cannot go in any other direction. So He didn't offer us a third way. Either you are on the way with Him, or you're on another way and you're going away from Him. Next, we need to stop and see if we are in the faith. Now, Paul tells us that we need to examine ourselves because of this matter. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are disqualified?" Now, we understand the terminology of being disqualified, don't we? If you're playing in a ball game and you are disqualified from that game, what does that mean? It means you've been thrown out. You're no longer playing in the game. If you are on the job and you all of a sudden you become disqualified, what does that mean? That means you've been fired. You no longer work there any longer. Spiritually, if you are disqualified as a Christian, you no longer have the saving grace of God. You're lost. We need to be careful that we don't live our lives in a way that we can become disqualified. Paul said, "I buffet myself daily so I don't become disqualified." We also need to stop and see if we are a living sacrifice. Now in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We become the sacrifice. Now, under the old law, people gave animal sacrifices to God. Animals that had been killed and prepared and put on the altar and burnt as a burnt offering to our God. It was supposed to be of the best that they had to offer to our Lord. Under the new law, we have become the sacrifice. We're not a dead offering. We're not a burnt offering. We are a living offering. We are to offer ourselves to God to carry out the work that He has set forth for us to carry out. We are to labor for the Lord. We are to live in service to Him. We become the sacrifice. So we need to stop and see. Are we living a sacrifice to God? Excuse me. The second thing, we need to stop and turn. And it's simple. We need to stop and turn from sin. You know, in Acts chapter 3, Peter has just healed the lame man at the gate of the temple. Now he is about to deliver his second recorded sermon in verse 17 through 19. And this is what it says. "And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. Do what? Return. Turn around. You know, that's what the word repent means. It means to literally turn around and go in a different direction. If you are living in a life of sin, stop. Turn around from your sin. This is the same message that Peter gave in his first recorded sermon on the day of Pentecost. Repent, he said. Turn around. It's the same message he told the people here at the temple. It's the same message he always told the people. And it's the same message that we have today. Stop from your sin and turn back to God. We need to stop and turn from ourselves. Now, how do you do that? You know, so many people think that they have all the answers. They have all the answers to all the questions in the world. I actually know someone who thinks that they know everything there is to know, and they know more than me and you and everybody else on the face of this earth. And he has said so to me directly. What a foolish, foolish man. You know, the prophet Jeremiah sets us straight on this in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Do you know what Jeremiah is trying to tell us here? We don't know how to do it. We are not capable of doing it right every time. Now, I would like to think that most of my decisions are sound and right. So do you. And maybe they are. But I have to tell you, my friends, I have made my mistakes, and so have you. We are not capable of doing it right all the time. Sometimes we need to stop and we need to get away from ourselves because we're doing it the wrong way. We need the guidance of someone who is going to help us move in the right direction. You know, David tells us in Psalm 119, 105, he tells us where to go. He says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It is your word that gives me the direction that I need, because your word is always right. And we should understand that. And then he goes on to say in the very next verse, therefore I will keep your righteous ordinances, because they are right. And I know that. And I know I'm wrong. And I do need to get away from myself to be sure that I'm going in the right direction. So sometimes we need to stop and turn from ourselves. Number three, we need to stop and obey. Jesus made it clear in Matthew 7, verse 21, that there is more to being a Christian than simply saying, I am a Christian. And you know, we will hear this throughout the religious world. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. All you have to do is say that I am your child. I belong to you. I live for you. And that's all that matters. Wouldn't it be nice if that's really what the Scriptures taught? Because wouldn't that be easy? But you know, that's not what the Scriptures say. And Jesus made it clear here. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Yet we have so many people today that still believe, I'm a Christian because I said it. Jesus is not putting an emphasis in this passage of Scripture on the words, Lord, Lord. Jesus is putting an emphasis on the doing of God's will. And we need to understand that instead of going off in some other direction. Paul makes it so clear. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. He says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to work of which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You did what? You obeyed. It didn't say you called on Lord, Lord. You obeyed what? A form of doctrine, that same form of doctrine that he has given to you to obey. Lord, Lord's not going to cut it, folks. We have to go through the obedience process to be with God. And let me tell you something else he made clear. We find this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. But if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. If you tell other people, just say, Lord, Lord. You're in this boat. We have to be careful. We need to stop, turn, and obey. And then finally, we need to stop and exercise patience. You know, the word perseverance kind of interchanges with this word patience. Patience is something that the Apostle Peter said that we needed to add to our Christian fruits. He said this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. The Hebrew writer tells us that we need to run with patience because we're in a long run. Hebrews 12 verse 1, therefore we also, since we are so surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, he said that this way for one reason. If we put on Christianity and we begin this race, as with everything else in life, sometimes things go wrong. And what's one of the first things people like to do when things go wrong? They like to quit. I can't do this anymore. I'm not good enough for this anymore. Therefore, I'm just going to stop. I'm not going to make any further attempt because I know I'm not good enough to finish this race, and therefore I'm just going to quit in the middle. The Hebrew writer is telling us, look, this is a long race. It's not going to be over today or tomorrow. It's not going to be over until the end of your life. And you need to be patient with it. Yes, there's going to be things that get in your way. Either go around it, go above it, go under it, whatever you need to do, but don't let it stop you. Stay on the path. You know, I guess this little word stop in one way can lead us to making great decisions. Because every one of us in this room who are Christians, at one time in their life, decided to stop where they were in life. They decided to turn around. They decided to obey. And now you are running this race with patience. That's what the stop sign can do for you if you will allow it. So my friends, tonight, stop. Stop and see. Stop and turn. Stop and obey. Stop and exercise patience. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, it is time that you stop your life of sin. You need to come today in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you are a Christian and you have went back into sin, you need to stop living in sin as a Christian. As James says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. That's how you get out of sin. You confess your sins. We pray with you. God has promised to forgive. And it's that simple. So my friends, tonight, if you look at this little sign, stop. You need to understand what it means. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.